You do not belong to, you name any pain, pressure, or problem in your life that wants to own you. It wants to tell you how to act and how to think, and that's a lie. You do not belong to that.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about belonging to Jesus. How do we belong? Shouldn't I just be my own person? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, showing us that we can find comfort in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Thanks for listening.
John chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That's today's gospel from the Gospel of John. You may not know his name unless you study lottery winners that become losers. His name is William Post. William Post grew up, he had a challenging childhood. He grew up in an orphanage. And then in his young adult years, he just struggled a little bit. He went to different homes. He tried to figure out who he was in life. And he ended up in life living on disability. And at a time in his life when he had only $2.46 to his name, bam! He won the Pennsylvania lottery for $16 million. Life is good. Within 2 weeks after he received his first annual payment of $500,000, he had spent two-thirds of it. He bought an airplane. He bought a used car lot, I assume, and the used car is in the lot as well. And he bought a restaurant. Within 3 months, so this, he had just received now his first annual payment of $500,000. He had spent that all within 3 months and actually was in debt $500,000. And his numbers weren't the only problem. His brother was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill him. And his family gave him all kinds of bad advice about worthless business ventures that he should start. At the end of the whole thing, his landlady duped him and ended up getting two-thirds of the cash. He himself ended up filing bankruptcy, and he faced a little prison stint for firing a gun at a bill collector. He sums it all up with these words, I was much happier when I was broke. Easter is a big deal. You might compare it to winning the lottery. It's like a one in a million kind of thing. I mean, it's a miracle. Easter is a big deal. As I study these words of Jesus this week and I thought back on Easter and the celebration of it and how big it is, one of the One of my takeaways was, does Easter remain a big thing in my life once it's done? Does Easter, like if I won the lottery, I'm sure you're thinking with me like this, right? You and I think, if I won $16 million, I wouldn't go bankrupt. I would make sure I manage it properly. I would live the good life. I would help a lot of other people. I wouldn't let people dupe me into bad business ventures. I wouldn't go into debt. And so I'm thinking, yeah, I'd be like that if I won the lottery, I think. And I want to be like that winning Easter too. I want it to change my life. I want my life to be different because Jesus rose from the dead. I don't want to lose Easter like a lottery crash. And that's why I like these words of Jesus here today, because I guess if I won the lottery, here's what I would enjoy more than anything, I think, to ensure that I didn't become a lottery winner-loser. I'd want an agent. Maybe it'd be one of you. A trustworthy agent who knows me, who isn't going to steal my money, who's going to give me good business advice, who's going to help me invest, who's going to teach me how the taxes work on winning the lottery, who's going to keep my head in the game, is going to help me be generous and willing to share. And if I won the lottery, I'd want a good agent to help me keep my head on straight. Well, spiritually, that agent for winning Easter, that all of us have Easter in our spiritual life, that agent is Jesus. Because he says, I am the good shepherd. And so he leads us, he protects us, he assures us that we're not going to have Easter stolen from us, that Easter is going to be part of our lives. And so if you're thinking, I really wish Easter was a bigger part of my life than it really is, I wish that Easter engendered change and positive spiritual steps in me that I haven't taken yet. I really wish it would bring me that new life, that ability to say no to sin. Help me get over that addiction. I really wish Easter would change me like it has the power to do, but it hasn't yet. Take heart that Jesus is your good shepherd. Jesus doesn't just drop Easter on us like it's like this big lottery win and then say, well, I hope it works out for you. See you later. Jesus, who rose from the dead and gave us this once-in-a-million gift of Easter, this miracle, he walks with us with the gift of Easter as our good shepherd, and that's what he talks about in these words today. So, kids, I'm going to ask you a question here. I want to raise your hand if you've ever heard this song. Hey, kids, ready? I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. Maybe I'm singing it bad. All right, about half of you, okay. I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. It goes on to say this. Who's so happy as I am, even now, the shepherd's lamb? There's a cartoon I really like, and the cartoon shows, it's one of those spiritual cartoons, and it shows two sheep. And both of the sheep are in the pasture. One sheep here is kind of scraggly looking, his head's kind of bowed, a little sad, and he's surviving, not thriving. And he says to the other sheep, there's a guy over there standing with some other scraggly-looking sheep that are kind of surviving and not thriving, and he nods over to that guy, and the sheep here says, yeah, old man Jones over there, he's my shepherd. And this sheep is full, pretty wool, and vibrant, and its head is up, and it's smiling, bright eyes, and there's a bunch of sheep over there that look the same as that sheep, and they're full, and they're bright-eyed sheep, and they're well-fed, and they're confident, and they're calm, and they're peaceful. And then there's this guy standing over there with a beard and holding a shepherd's staff, and this sheep nods over this way and says to that sheep, the Lord's my shepherd. And so we say that, as David said it in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. See that word my in there? That's a big word because it means ownership. It means belonging. And that's what Jesus assures us in his words in John 10, beginning at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep and cares nothing for the sheep. The good shepherd does own his sheep. You. The good shepherd does care for the sheep. You. So, here's what that means. You do not belong to, you name, any pain, pressure, or problem in your life that wants to own you, that acts like it's your boss, like your master. You name any sin, any temptation, any past, any big mistake you've made, any fear of the future. You name any of that. You name it. It wants to be your master. It wants to tell you what to do. It wants to tell you who you should be. It wants to tell you how to act and how to think. And that's a lie. You do not belong to that. You belong to Jesus, your good shepherd. He says it. He owns you. He owns you and he cares about you. And when he says he owns you, listen to this, he owns everything about you. So he doesn't say, you know, I'm gonna own everything about you except your freshman year in college. I ain't owning that. I'll own everything about you, but your mother-in-law, she's not part of the, I'm not dealing with her. She's not part of the picture. I will own everything about you except this, except that. When Jesus says, you are mine, I know my sheep, he's taking the whole package. He owns everything that there is of you, everything in your life, everything about it. He says, I'll take that, including your sins. He takes those, and he tells us, he takes those, and he takes them to the cross. He lays down his life for you. He takes all your sins, all your mistakes. He takes your future. He says, it's going to be okay. I'm leading. Trust me and follow me. He takes your freshman year in college. He takes your mother-in-law. He takes your cancer. He takes your addiction. He takes it, and he says, I got this. How calm and peaceful hearts have to be when Jesus says that he owns us. He goes on in verse 17. He keeps going. He says, I lay down my life only to take it up again. Death, resurrection. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And Jesus says, I use that authority to die for you and to rise for you. Your sins are forgiven. I died for them. And now I conquered death. And so in Romans 8, we say confidently with the Apostle Paul, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And in that list, Paul writes, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does it take to make you happy? On Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock p.m., do you know what it takes to make me happy? Yes, a nap. When I don't get it, do you know what happens to me? I turn into a nasty person, like this monster. Like, I say things and do things that are just mean, and it's like Frankenstein. It's just, ew. And that is real, but it's wrong. See, each of you has something that it takes to make you happy, too. Maybe it's on Sunday morning more than afternoon. Maybe it's Sunday afternoon. Maybe it's through the week. What does it take to make you happy? And we can put anything in there. For me, it's a nap. Maybe it's a motorcycle ride. Maybe it's my plans going right for the day. For you, maybe it's your as grandparents, it's all the grandkids being together in one place at one time. You name it, right? You have plans. You're going to the ball game. You want it to the sun to shine. You don't want it to rain. If it rains, you're not happy. We can put anything else we want there, but if we put things in there that are not Jesus, we are risking those things not going right. And this could be, even be a person. You could want a spouse to make you happy, your parents to make you happy, your job to make you happy. Nothing. Those are all vulnerable. None of those things can completely function according to our expectations all the time. Even your spouse, even the most beloved Christian loving spouse cannot meet every one of your needs in a way that can make you totally happy. It's an unfair position to put them in, and it's not going to happen. You're going to be let down. But we want our hearts to be happy in Jesus. So, ever glad at heart I am, who's so happy as I am, even now the shepherd's lamb. That's what the song says. Find your happiness in Jesus, and you'll always be happy. I'm still taking a nap this afternoon, though. Let me tell you what it sounds like when your heart is intimately connected with Jesus, when it's happy in Jesus. The song goes on. It says, "For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs, and well provides me." Kids, how many of you have a dog in your house? Raise your hand. Okay? Have a dog. What do you do to take care of that dog? You take it for a walk. You feed it, cuddle with it, play fetch with it. All those things you know that your dog needs for you to take care of it. Okay, so let me ask you this. What happens as you're taking care of that dog? Does it know that you love it? Yeah, you prove that. Let me ask you this. What if, kids, you're gone? What if, like, your family leaves for the weekend? Or you go on vacation? Let's say you go on vacation for 2 weeks. Do you just leave your dog at home to take care of itself? No, you got to take it somewhere, or someone comes to your house to take care of it. See, so you know what your dog needs, and you know it's important to give it all that love and care you just talked about. Jesus says the same thing for us. Look at this, John 10, beginning at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here's another lie of the devil, of the wolf. Jesus has no clue, does he? I mean, what's going on in your life right now? I mean, if Jesus really understood and had a clue about what was happening in your life right now, it wouldn't be happening. Do you ever hear that? Ever feel like that? You ever? In other words, the lie is Jesus doesn't know. Jesus doesn't understand. Jesus has lost track of you. As a matter of fact, it's worse than that. Jesus has let you go because you've done something wrong. You've done something so wrong that you've made him angry enough where he's just going to let you fend for yourself. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't gone to church enough. You haven't sung, "I am Jesus' little lamb," in the right key. You haven't been a good enough mom. You haven't been a good enough grandpa. You haven't saved your money enough. You have done something where Jesus now doesn't even care. Because if he cared, this wouldn't be happening. And Jesus blows up that lie right here to say, "I know my sheep. I know." Well, then why, if Jesus knows, is this happening, we ask? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't always know. But what do we know? Jesus says, "I know my sheep." And what do his sheep know? and my sheep know me. And if God is for us, the scriptures say, who can be against us? If God is on our side, we win. Paul earlier said, we are more than conquerors. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or not? No. So don't fall for the lie that if Jesus truly knew, then this wouldn't be happening. Oh, Jesus is a good shepherd. He will lead you through messes that you yourself make. He will allow trouble and hardship to make you stronger, to bring you closer to him, so that you don't wander so much and you stay closer to his side. There's a lot of reasons we may not know, but we do know our Jesus. Our Jesus is the good shepherd. And nothing scares him. Nothing at all ever scares him. He never runs away. He stays faithful to us. He knows you so well. Jesus is so personally committed. He form fits your care exactly to you. My wife was going through a first aid kit yesterday, and one that we were using at a conference we were at, and some of the things were expired, and some were still good, and I thought, it wasn't very a big first aid kit. You know, I'm thinking, well, what if a person, like, you know, got their arm cut off? Would this first aid kit work for them? The bandage? Probably not. What if this person got, like, I don't know, a flu epidemic? You know, would this first aid kit work for? No, probably not. So Jesus has his first aid. Jesus form fits his care, his aid. It's not generic. He fits his care and his aid to you personally, so that he's giving you exactly what you need. And he promises that in this, that he says, He knows our name. The song goes on to say, he loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name. Imagine yourself for a moment traveling internationally. You are in a foreign country. You're in a foreign airport. There's probably three or four of you here who are like, yeah, bring it on. I do that all the time. But for the rest of us, that's scary. You're in a foreign airport. You're traveling alone. You have no travel companion. All the signs are in a foreign language. All the people are speaking gibberish that you don't understand. And you're trying to transfer flights and get to the right place on time and get the coffee and find the restrooms and find the shuttle to the different terminal, and you're just feeling like, ah! And you hear someone nearby say your name. Oh. This is not over the loudspeaker. This is not a casual, it's not a random act. It's someone says, you're like, oh, there's someone who knows me, who's that close to me, and I feel a lot better now. That's the meaning here, as Jesus knows your name. We feel so much better that he's intimate and he's close, and Jesus does the same thing. He calls you personally. Now, nowhere does the Bible say that you should expect to audibly hear Jesus say your name. But the Bible's teachings allow us to say that. Because Jesus talks to the Father about you. And when he talks to the Father about you, how does he refer to you? Does he say, does he use your social security number, perhaps? Well, you know, Father, you know, person 507-29-6339 needs your help today. Do you have a client number, an account number in heaven? Does he, you know, use, he just uses your name because he knows it. He knows you personally. And that's how intimately connected he is with you, that he uses your name. That's the thought behind using your name. He did, you might say that Jesus spoke your name when you were baptized. Your baptism, your name was announced, and in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're baptized. That's a good memory. I was at a conference this last week with a bunch of pastors, and one of the topics of conversation was, what are some blunders you've committed over the time of your ministry? You know, what are some things that you were like, oops, that that wasn't good. One of them was a pastor at a baptism had the baby and baptized the baby with the wrong name. So we could certainly discuss, was that a valid baptism or not? But here's the rest of the story. So let's say the baby's name was Bob and he called the baby Bill, okay? And baptized the baby. Bill, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When Bob grew up, he changed his name. Guess what he changed his name to? Bill. Because he said, I want to be the person whose name was pronounced, that Jesus called my name, and I want to be that name. It's that important to me. I want to be that name because it's meaningful to me that Jesus calls me by that name. I thought that was a good recovery to a pastor blunder. I have never committed any pastoral blunders, anything like that. Don't laugh. I knew you would laugh. So the meaning of Jesus' name, Jesus calls your name, and then you call his name. And you say, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says how he wants you to do that here. This final verse, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I want to apply these words of Jesus to your evangelism efforts, to your witnessing efforts and sharing Jesus with people. I want to ask you this question. Do you remember the last time that you brought a person to Jesus? Maybe, maybe not. Now look carefully at these words of Jesus here. And let me ask that question again. Do you remember the last time you brought a person to Jesus? And what does Jesus say about, I see some of you not shaking your heads here, right? What does Jesus say about that right here? Whose job is that? Jesus takes responsibility for bringing people to Jesus when he says the words, I must bring them also. See? Bringing people to Jesus is not your job. Now, Jesus does give all of us a job. Jesus does want us to share his name with people, to tell people, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. But Jesus is already on the scene before you even get there when you're going to tell someone about Jesus, because he's already trying to do the bringing. And they may know things are happening in their life, and they may be blessed by a sunny day. They may be blessed by a big tax refund. They may say God is good, but not really know Jesus' name. And you're his voice to them. He calls to them through you, and you say, the Lord is my shepherd. Follow me. I'll tell you more about him. But don't get so nervous about failing at that, because that's not your job to fail. It's not your job to bring. It's just your job to announce, to introduce, to share, to say, follow me to the good shepherd. And it's Jesus' job to bring them in. So I want that to take pressure off you and inspire you to share your faith more and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Final question for you kids. We're going to wrap it up here. Final question. It's about your pets again. Be honest now. Raise your hand if this is true. Have you ever felt about like taking care of your pet? Like, it's like always, you have brothers and sisters who are supposed to do it, they don't, and your mom and dad don't. Like, it's always you responsible. You have to take care of your pet. You have to feed them. You have to clean up after them. You have to take them for a walk. You have to be responsible for them. And do you ever get tired of that? Yeah. Some moms and dads raised their hand too, I see. We are Jesus' little lambs. I got some good news for you in Jesus' own words today, because he says, I'm the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I'm the tired shepherd. I'm the frustrated shepherd. I'm the shepherd ready to check out. I'm the shepherd who wish someone else were your shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd. And a good shepherd never gets tired. A good shepherd never complains about taking care of you. A good shepherd is always willing to take up everything that is you when he says, "You belong to me, I'll take it all." A good shepherd even takes your sins and goes to the cross and dies. And a really good shepherd rises to life. A good shepherd is living and is powerful and is caring and says to you with words of assurance, "I am your good shepherd." And you say, "I am Jesus' little lamb. Ever glad at heart I am." Amen. Let's pray. Oh, good shepherd, Jesus. What wonderful words we hear today. We, your sheep who have gone astray, each to our own way. We, your sheep who wander and get lost. We, your sheep who think we know the way when we really don't. Jesus, your words of ownership, of us belonging to you, your words of promise, your words of encouragement and reassurance that you bring others in, even as we simply tell them about you. Your words of power and victory, paying for sin by your death and rising from the dead. Those words, Jesus, reassure us so much today. Help us, Good Shepherd, to walk more closely to you in our walk of Christian faith in this life. Help us to listen more clearly to you when you guide us by your word. Give us hearts of calm and peace, realizing that you own us and nothing else does. And then help us to speak your name. To speak your name in praise back to you, in praise and thanks for being our shepherd. And to speak your name with a hearty recommendation to others that you should be their shepherd too. In your name we pray these things today and always. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.